Hey, John.
Hey Gavin, how are you?
Good man. How you doing, brother?
I'm okay. I'm fighting a tickle in my throat, but
Oh, good man. You got some immune stuff going on over there. You sorting yourself out with those? Greg supporting you with that?
what did you say?
Is Greg supporting you on any immune stuff to help that out? Good.
I haven't talked to him about it. It just kind of started.
Yeah, give him a shout, man. He'll give you a little protocol just to help shift it quick if you can.
Yeah, I would have done my challenge workout today, but our dog collapsed last night, so we was waiting all day for the to get her into the vet.
Oh, good man. The workout can wait, brother. Don't you worry about Workout can
Workouts
hit.
are going well.
Good, brother. Good man. Mike, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks. How
Looking
are
nice
you?
and clean over there, brother. You're looking fantastic.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm just managing. I had a little bit of a knee. No, it's weird. Like months and months ago, I was at work and my shoe was loose, and I didn't do it up. I was like, oh, I'll get it. I'll get it. And I was running around the shop, and then it ended up messing my knee up a little bit. So it's been achy ever since. So once in a while, it flares up, but I don't know if it's just inflamed
Did
or
you fall
something.
over, or was it?
No, I was just walking around on it. And then I was kind of compensating the way I was walking because my shoe was loose. And
Gotcha.
I think it just kind of messed it up a little bit, but no, things
Yeah,
are
man.
going.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. If there's anything with the knee, it's always either the foot or the hip that's going to cause the issue. Because the knee's just stuck in the middle.
Right.
It's trapped in the middle with no place to go. So if the two, the one above and the one below, are out of whack or they're not doing what they need to do, then the knee's going to compensate and take some of the brunt of it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but you with Andrew, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, Andrew will
Yes,
be.
it's manageable. I'm just trying not to, like, I started doing my repeat runs like twice a week now, but I just tapered it off a little bit. And I'm just trying not to smash my knee up too much or anything, right?
The echo bikes and things like that can be a good shout, man. Like instead of running, you
Right.
can still hit the cardio work that you need to hit. We're going to obviously be t discussing cardio tonight and building your engine. And there's a lot to consider around that as well, which I'll delve into a little bit, but.
Okay, cool.
Those cases where, like, my son plays football over here and as a young boy, but his limbs are growing fast. And obviously his muscles haven't caught up. So if the muscle hasn't strengthened at the same pace as his limbs have been sort of growing, you know, he's quite tall. It's actually my height already. Then
Wow.
his tendons have to do a lot more,
Yeah.
right? But he was getting a lot of tendonitis. So we had to do a lot of strength training. But whilst we're doing the strength training, finding exercises that he could suit, no pain, he can get the target areas that he needed, but he still needed to do cardio because he couldn't play football at the time because of his knees and his ankles. And so I put him on the watt bike over in the corner. So I was like, right, we're doing sprints here. And he had no knee pain. There's no joint force impact going through the ground. There's nothing going up into the knee. And he could output, like we could push him hard, you know. And then the strength training combined on top of that, 2 to 3 weeks, he was back. No pain. Obviously, he's like a little Wolverine. He got over it pretty quick. But yeah, like using the correct cardio equipment to still have the response that you want can help a lot.
Okay.
Can help
Yeah,
a
cool.
lot.
Thanks for the
Yeah.
input there.
Paul, give us a top win for you this week, brother. How's it going?
Perfectly fine. And
Yeah.
it's got
All
back from
good.
a week of travel on it. Didn't have to pull back too much. So do same as before, or a little better.
Good man. Good, good. And Thompson's up in the corner there on my screen anyway. How you doing, brother?
Oh, you know everything. We kind of
I know
caught up on
everything about you,
Saturday.
man. I know everything. Don't worry. The week started well for you, though.
Got my workout done Monday, got my grass done in yesterday, did my cardio after that anyway, did my leg day today, so all good, firing on all
Love
cylinders.
it, man. Love it. So myself and Thompson had a good chat on Saturday, and he's pretty dialed. He's dialed on everything. His meal prep's on point. His workouts are going well. And it's funny when he nails them all and hits the checklist, what happens? The results start to climb pretty well. He's knocking out the park. Brilliant stuff. What's that, man? Oh, I saw your meal prep.
That's all the containers of my food from my work, all my
Yeah,
meal
boy.
prep stuff.
Eat it up, big boy. Eat it up. know Vihar's probably working, his screen's looking at the roof, but just saying hello, Vihar. Hope you're well, man. There he is. Good man. Hamza, this is your first call. Nice to have you on with the team, man.
Sure. You remember me? I met you one time in my life.
Yeah,
I met
in
you Whippy Good Life.
yeah, it's good to have you,
Cool,
man.
cool.
It's great to have you. So myself and Hamza will be on a kickoff call tomorrow, boys. So you'll be seeing Hamza in the group, getting down and dirty with some of his workouts. There's gonna be a lot coming from this boy after our call tomorrow.
That's where I train Whippy. I'm at the Whippy Good Life. Maybe I'll see you there.
There we
You
go.
train there or?
Yeah, I'm in the AMs I go in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Hang
Boys, you
up.
have to keep each other going, man, because it's some tough stuff coming. So you're gonna have to
Right.
keep each other accountable. Love it. Well, boys, I think there's a couple more in that have videos off, but they're good to go. Sean, I know you're in. Any questions, Sean? Just pop into the chat as I'm going, okay, bro? So today's call, we're looking at how to build your engine. Actually, let me pull up the full title. So, engine, when you think of the engine, what does that mean to you in terms of building your engine, guys? Well, when someone says
Yep.
build your engine,
Yep.
Hamza,
Yep.
how would you
Yep.
think of that?
Vehicle max, I assume, is one of the components.
Say that again, bro.
The VO2 max is probably one of the components.
Yeah, VO2 max, conditioning, cardiovascular engine, right? The ability to go fast, like with an engine. So you think what an engine can do. It's got the ability to flatline and go fast, and it's got the ability to go slow and a long duration. So then you're looking at, well, what type of fuel utilization am I going to have on either end of those components, right? So you think you've got the electric vehicles right now, doesn't necessarily have an engine, just has a battery, so it's a little bit different. But if you think about fast energy, when that foot hits the ground and you go 0 to 100 in 3 seconds, like that's super fast energy. You need a lot of output to get that done. Whereas you've got the other end of the spectrum, like the old engines that can run for days and days and days on minimal fuel, right? So thinking about that just in your head right now, in terms of what type of engine are we trying to build, or build an engine that can do all of those things. Does that make sense? So we want to be able to go slow and long and be able to endure that, but then still have the ability to output fast and go where we need to go and when we need to output. Does that make sense?
Control, having control of it, right? So.
Yeah, but it's having the body's ability to switch between the two. So then
Right.
you have to think about metabolic flexibility. So are my cells flexible enough to be able to go through those two things? Right. So when we typically have long, slow, steady stuff, we're looking to utilize fatty acids to fuel that type of output. So there are glucose and glycogen are going to be used at some point. But typically, if it's under a certain threshold of your heart rate, your body typically uses the majority of fatty acids to do that. Okay. But once you start getting depleted, then the body can start to break down a few things. And this is where people need glucose gels if they're doing super, super long endurance stuff, which I don't believe a lot of us on this call do, but that's where the glucose gels can help there. But typically, you're going to be using fatty acids, right? When your heart rate's under a lower percentage of their threshold. But once you start crossing a certain threshold of your max heart rate, so some of you have different peak heart rates on this call, some of you have different resting heart rates. So some clients that I coach, someone checked in on the weekend is like his resting heart rate was 45. Right, where some clients have a resting heart rate of 65 or 70, and that needs to be like, okay, we need to get that back into like the low to mid 50s. That's a decent heart rate, resting heart rate, right? So when you sleep, that's where you should be looking to dial in. And notice that when you sleep is the prime time you're going to be using fatty acids as a fuel source when your heart rate is super low, right? But when it does start across a certain threshold, let's say your max heart rate's 180. Once it starts across 70% of 180 of your peak max heart rate, once it starts across 70% of that and goes up to 80%, that's when you're going to start to kick into more glucose for fuel. It starts switching away from fatty acids and go, right, this is starting to ramp up a little bit now. You're asking a little bit more demand for me. I need quicker energy to keep this action up that you're asking me to do. So then it starts to use glucose because it's a faster fuel source. Protein isn't a fuel source that can break down quickly and start to turn into glucose, which it can do, called gluconeogenesis. but it's a long drawn out process, so to speak, right? So it'll just typically then need to use glucose. So that's where your heart rate's going to go to max, okay, or getting up there. So around the 70 plus 75 to maybe 90%. And then once you start hitting that 100% plus, you'll notice that you're struggling to keep up, and you're going to bonk out pretty quick because you just can't keep up with the demand. Oxygen, you can't get enough oxygen in to convert the fuel substrates with ATP. So those are like that's a big like drawn out way of looking at fuel utilization at different heart rate zones. Okay. Now, if I'm going to train certain heart rate zones, so you've got steady state and zone two. So if you break them into zones, for example, just for now, zone two is typically a range that you can talk to somebody whilst you do it. Right. I typically get up in the morning. My morning routine, I'll typically do some form of cardiovascular work, either if it's a longer walk or I'll just jump on the bike if I'm short for time and do 20, 30 minutes on the bike every morning. I like to get up and move and wake up that way. And then my coffee comes later. I'll drink a liter of water. I'll do my cardiovascular work first, and my coffee comes later. I don't even need that caffeine at that point. If I didn't want to, it's no problem because my energy is super high. So that's my tendency on what I like to do in the mornings. But at that point, when I'm doing it, my kids could come in. I could chat to my kids if I wanted to. It's not like I'm like, I can't breathe. I'm trying to keep up, And that's typically your zone two based training. And sometimes people tend to overuse that sometimes, where you do need to hit and touch these other zones of training to train the heart to work at different rates. So sometimes off the miss is like that zone three zone of training as well. And obviously going into zone fours and zone fives is typically where you're going to hit your VO2 max when your heart rate is really peaking. Okay. But when we do that, we have to consider what do we need, because people want to improve their VO2 max. And imagine that's like hitting, you want to touch that high heart rate zone to push it up and push it up and push it up. You've got to train it to go there, go harder. But if you're new to that type of stuff, what's going to happen if I, let's say, for example, Hamza comes in next week and I do his assessment stuff going into August time. We're going to start off, we're on a kickoff call next week. We might even give him the assessment. He actually did the mass test on the course in Whitby, no?
Other the battle
No, not a Tabata one. It's a basically the mass test is a 5 minute all out.
the mass test on the bike, right? Yeah, like the wattage of the bike, right? Yeah, I did that, yeah.
Exactly. So if I test his mass test and I can see he's got low wattages, and I'm going to ask him to do X amount of high wattage, like to peak out and just go and hit his VO2 max from day one. But I see that he needs to do aerobic conditioning because he's polyaerobically conditioned. What's going to happen? He's going to break pretty fast. He's not going to be able to keep up the amount of time duration that I need him to do to improve his conditioning. He's just going to throw up. He's not going to last 12 minutes. Do you know what I mean? 10 minutes will be, it'll be done if he's throwing up. If I give him specific stuff to zone into to the VO2 max style training. So there's some points with like a newbie to strength training. We need a foundation. We need to build a foundation. If somebody can't output straight away, I'm gonna have to give you a foundation of conditioning work to prep your body to open up all of the blood vessels, all of the arteries, all the vascular network need to open up and perfusion so you can push blood exactly where you want it. And that's only done with low steady state cardiovascular work at a really efficient level. Because as soon as you go hard in output, it contracts harder and you close those things up. It's vasoconstricts. You want to be vasodilating as much as possible. Okay. So once you got that base and you've got that work capacity, you're able to go, then we can start titrating up into different zones of training. And there's many ways to do that. But typically we start to look at work to rest ratios to do that as well. Right. So there are ways that I can still use interval training, which you'll notice for the guys that have done the mass test and Hamza, we showed you on the course where we did the mass and we showed you to calculate that type of stuff as well. So guys, just so you know, Hamza's a coach as well. So he's into this stuff. He's come on one of our courses. He knows how to design these interval type trainings as well. But typically what we're looking at, just because you're doing intervals doesn't mean it's all HIIT training. HIIT training is based off intensity. and the ability to keep that intensity up. So if I said high intensity interval training, people would automatically think Tabata, right? They do 20 on, 10 off. When you realistically look at it, you might be able to keep up the power output for 20 seconds. You take 10 seconds off, you do another 20. After that, you're dead. The intensity drops massively because you can't keep that intensity up with that amount of rest period. So when I say intensity, this is why we look at wattages on the bike, Hamza, and like the guys with the mass. If I give you a wattage output to see your true intensity, that's like a 1 RM. So if I'm going to give you a 1 RM on a sumo deadlift and it's 550 on the bar, 550 pounds, and you lifted 550 pounds for one, and it's like on the brink, you can't do any more. But I say, right, 10 seconds, go again. What's the odds of you getting that back up? Zero. You're probably going to need 4 to 5 minutes rest to get close to hitting that again, right? And it's the same thing with interval training like this to hit true power, true peak power. If I give you a wattage output and go, you got to hit 1,000 watts in that bike, there's no way you're doing that again in 10 seconds. It's going to be impossible. You're going to need at least 2 to 4 minutes to get close to that 1,000 watts again. So I can train you repeatedly to keep outputting the true power. That's high intensity interval training. Whereas when we look at the work to rest ratio for that, 10 seconds off, 3 minutes off, that's a big, like, plus 1 to 20 work to rest ratio. Make sense? Whereas if I give you a Tabata with 10, 20 on, 10 off, that's a 1 to 0.5 work to rest ratio. So you're working more than you're resting. So that automatically makes it aerobic work. Make sense? So aerobic work is like 1 to 1 or 1 to less than 1, right? So we straight away, Tabata is aerobic training, but it's working a bit of aerobic power for sure, but it's aerobic. So I can give you aerobic training, start to train some kind of VO2 max output. But when you look at your heart rates, when you do something like that, especially if you're deconditioned, you won't get it to peak because the intensity drops so much, the average comes out and it's probably around 135 to 145 beats per minute that I've seen. So you're never reaching the 170s, 180s with that type of stuff because people haven't got the ability to power output that. Or if they do go that high, they're just super deconditioned and they don't need that style of training. Whereas I could probably give that to Mike. Mike, your power output and the intensity would drop anyway. And by default, your heart rate doesn't climb high enough to keep up because you can't keep the intensity high. Make sense? So when you see the mass test and you see the way we calculate those things out, you notice like 15 on, 15 off, 20 on, 20 off. It's all 1 to 1 work to rest ratio. But we give you wattages to output at, right? So we focus on like 20 on, hit 300 watts. On your 20 seconds off, hit 180. So you're using wattages as recovery and output measurements. So I can now calculate if your power output goes up in wattage terms. So I can see your intensity going up over time. And what can still train your aerobic capacity, and I can still train your VO2 max. So the mass stuff is fantastic to do that. And we can cut the time duration down as well. Okay, so when we're looking at that type of training, you have to involve intensity into that at some point. So it's like if we said, Mike, we're going to do 30 minutes of cardio training and you can't stop. You can't stop once. How hard are you going to go?
Probably not max.
No max, right? There's no way. Like you imagine the speed of Usain Bolt doing his 100 meters, there's no way he's keeping that up for a mile, right? There's no way you can keep that pace up. So we have to look at intensity in this equation as well when we're looking at cardiovascular training too, okay? Now, when we're looking at different zones of training, so we mentioned like the 1 to 20 work to rest ratio, the 1 to 1 work to rest ratio. Once you start crossing over to 1 to 3, 1 to 4, 1 to 6, that's when you're going to start hit lactate work, more lactic capacity. So your body's going to start producing more lactic acid, right? Because what's happening, then typically somebody else is coming in. So typically the timings of that are going to start to creep over the 20 second mark if you want to work the lactate zones. So you're going to go from like 30 seconds, 40 seconds, even up to 90 seconds to 2 minutes at some point. sometimes, but the rest you're going to get after that work output is anywhere from 3 to 6, sometimes up to 8 to 9. So what's going to happen then, UNIFIL? So what's going to happen then? Your rest period, people, oh, I've got more rest. Fantastic. No. They give you enough rest so you can hit that output again as close as possible. So the way we factor this in one test, Hamza, this might come to you in the short while that we're going to work together. We might see what your first test does first. But to test lactate, we give you 45 seconds. This could be on a Rogue Echo bike, for example, 45 seconds, and we measure your distance. So in that 45 seconds, you're going at it. Like you got to go hard for 45 seconds. What's going to happen to my legs and my arms at that point? They're going to fill up with blood. You're going to feel them burn. That's lactate. Then I'm going to give you 4 minutes rest period. So just over 1 to 4 work to rest ratio, right? Then you're going to repeat and hit that same distance again, as close to that distance as possible, right? Then you're going to rest 4 minutes and you're going to repeat it again. And the guys that are, now this depends on the individual, depends how advanced they are, depends how strong they are. So if you aren't too strong, you can't develop the intensity to warrant that output. So sometimes you can keep those repeats up over and over and over. So my default is I need to reduce your rest period down to help you get more lactate and accumulation because you're so aerobically efficient and you're not strong enough yet to have the output that you can't get any lactate up, or you're clearing the lactate too fast within 4 minutes because your vascular network's pretty good, or you haven't got the output to give. So for example, when I did that test, I lasted 4 rounds and I literally couldn't walk for 20 minutes. So my muscles just seized up. Like they were just rocks. I couldn't bend. I couldn't do anything with my knees because I was hitting wattage super high and I just couldn't clear lactate. So when you look at my genetics also, I know we've got testing for you, Hamza, too, but when you look at my genetics, I'm very poor at clearing lactate. So that doesn't mean that I have to just only stick to non-lactate stuff and more power output stuff. I have to be able to train that. I might not be amazing at it, but I have to have the efficiency in my body to clear lactate at some point. So when there's something I'm not good at, I have to smile and go, okay, I have to get better at it at some point. I have to max out what I can do with that. So that's why we do a lot of testing. Evening, Matt. Nice to see you, man. So that's why we have to do all the tests. Like all the tests we do, there's a specific reason for everything. Because once you've hit one goal, you've hit one target, there's always something else then you need to push the needle on. So if I make you aerobically efficient, one of my clients, he's normally on these calls, he's not here at the moment, Chris Clark. When we first tested Chris for his engine, so Chris came into the program, I think he was like 255 pounds. He now walks around at 180. Absolute machine. Like he's unbelievable. But he hated cardio. Like he's like, I hate cardio. Like I hate doing it. He hated breath work. He didn't want to do it. He just loved lifting weights 5x5 type of thing, right? Loves lifting heavy. But we chat, like the whole goal of this is like, well, if there's something we need to go all in on and focus on, we're going to smile and we're going to go at it because it's going to make us better. So we started him with just basic aerobic conditioning just to get his mindset right. We built the foundation for his vascular network, opened that up because you can see if you're 255, and the shape that he was in, he needed a lot of body fat to lose. He was insulin resistant at that point, struggling to lose body fat. So we need cardiovascular training and his fitness to help that. So if you're not fit, there is zero chance you're going to handle half of the weight training I throw at you. There's no way. Just no way. Sorry, one sec. So if you're poor at clearing lactate, training is short and rest. Yeah, if you're poor at clearing lactates, Mike, that's a great question. I'll come back. I'll bounce back to the fitness and strength training in a second. But if you're poor at clearing lactate, you do have to train, unfortunately, and it's fucking uncomfortable. Like it's not nice. But I wouldn't go shoot straight to short rest periods. You have to find that sweet spot. So if you noticed my test, for example, Mike, I was hitting X distance for 45 seconds, and then after 4 rounds, I couldn't keep up. Like my legs just didn't work. I wanted to go, but my body was just saying, no, you can't do this shit. There's no way. And I lasted 4 rounds. So I was giving myself 4 minutes. So what chance have I got? So I know that I can't clear lactate with 4 minute rounds for four reps. I can't do any more. So my default's going to be, I either have to go at less intensity or I need to give myself more rest period at that point. So I'm giving my body chance to clear it. Make sense? Then once I can do that and I can hit 7, 8 rounds with 5 minutes rest, boom. Then it's 4 minutes 30, go again. Then it's 4 minutes, go again. Then it's 3 minutes 30. And then I start to work down. So what I'm doing now is I'm working my lactic power output. So I'm getting the power output in. And then as I take the rest period away, I'm building the work capacity with lactate. So then I can go into that lactate clearance and so on. But if somebody needs lactate clearance work, what's one of the best ways they can do that? They do zone one training or 1.5 and zone two. Like they need a foundation. This is why I said about building a foundation. So at that point, I did that test. I was like, I need to do zone 1.5 and zone two work alongside this lactate work. So it depends on what the client needs. But if you look at zone 1.5 to two, basically what happens when you train that, you put all the tools in place right around the cell for you to keep churning lactate through that cell. And the best people in the world that have it are Tour de France cyclists. They're amazing at it. Like they can, their wattages for hours are insane for body weight per kilo, for kilos of power per body weight. It's nuts. So if I can hit one test, I'm actually doing this on one of the Saturday challenge workouts for you boys. If I give you a test to hit like four watts per kilo on the bike, a salt bike or a watt bike, whatever it is, 4 watts per kilo, I guarantee if you kept it up for 5 minutes, think about the mass test you've done. There's no way you're doing 4 watts per kilo for 5 minutes on a mass test. And these, now granted, these guys are super light. They're like 65 kilos dripping wet, but they'll keep up 4 watts per kilo for 3 hours. That's insane. Like it's nuts. So but if you look at their training output, they've built their engine. They've built the foundation. 80% of their week is zone 1.5 to zone two, 80%. And then 20% of the week is high intensity stuff. They'll do hills. They'll do all the output work they need to for VO2 max. But they haven't got a lot of muscle mass. So this is where for guys that are looking to build longevity, build muscle, and the component of VO2 max, we have to go through all of these energy systems to condition you as you put muscle on, right? So this is why we start with the foundation. Just before Mike's question, I was saying, well, if I don't get you fit enough, there's no way if I put you through a hard weight training session, you're going to recover from that well enough. Your fitness levels are going to dictate how well you're going to recover from that stuff, right? If I put you on a set of hack squats and we're going 15 reps, 20 reps, you're going to gas pretty quick, right? Now, if I put 20 pounds of muscle on you and do the same thing, you're screwed because now that muscle hasn't been conditioned to do that. Prime example was me today on the hack squat. I put on the weights, did 2 sets of 6. I backed off. I did a set of 12 and I had to lay there for 2 minutes. I'm like, I need my conditioning back up, man. Like I haven't done a lot of high reps for a long time, but I know now my limiter is high reps. I'm going to be putting high reps back into my workouts because that's one of my, like I was gassed. Okay, perfect. I need to turn the dial up on my high rep training now, condition me, and turn the dial down on my low rep training because I'm strong enough. Right? Hack squats, 5 plates a side, pretty decent. That's not too bad. Now I need to output that. So I might need to strip back to 4 and work my way up to 12, 15, maybe 20 reps on 4 plates a side. Let's go to work. And then what's that going to do? Well, now if I can do that amount of reps with that amount of weight on a hack squat, well, that's just push my 6 rep max up by default. I have to train it to get efficient at it, but I'm probably hitting 6 plates a side at that point for 6. Right. So this is why we need that foundation there. Same thing with weight training. If you're struggling to hit a 1RM, I would look at, well, what can you do? What should you be able to do? If your 1RM is this, what should you be able to do at 2, 3 reps, 6, 5 reps, 6 reps, 8 reps, 10 reps? Because if the 10 rep is off, I can push the 10. And then by default, it's automatically going to start pushing up the other numbers. But I need to sequence that in the week to help you push it. Make sense? So there's all these ways we can push fitness and rep numbers and loading But it all comes down to intensity and recovery. Right? Mike, you had a great question then. Any other questions? Because I've been spitting a lot, and I want to make sure we're all up to speed on like understanding what true energy systems can do for you and why we would start with, like, I know it's boring as hell sometimes sitting on a bike or doing hill, like going on the Stairmaster or step mill, and you're there for 40, 45 minutes. But it's one of those things that if you get through it, or if you attack it like you need to attack it, your fitness levels are there for a long time. You need to get fit. Very, very fit. Thompson's about to go through a round of it coming up to Costa Rica. I know. Get ready, brother. Any questions on your upcoming conditioning stuff, Thompson?
Nope, I just follow instructions.
I didn't even pay him to say that, boys. He's all in. He's all in. So let's see, Matt, how's your conditioning going at the moment, man? How's your engine? I'm sure Steve's got you cooking on all cylinders, though. Sorry, you're muted, bro.
I'm in the last 10 days of a fat loss phase. Yeah, I did a lifted and then did a half hour cardio today. The last couple of days I was doing 45 minutes, sometimes 45 more in the evening. So I think I peaked at 1 hour 45 in one day. And he's like, if your output reduces, back off. If you're too hungry and you can't handle it, back off. But otherwise, go crazy with cardio this week. So, but it's, yeah, it's a 10 incline walk at 3 miles an hour, 2.8 to 3. So it's uncomfortable. My upper back gets tired. I'm just like, I'm bored. My upper back hurts, but I'm watching Netflix. So I
Yeah.
think my cardio is in a good spot. And I got to
Good.
tell you, when we went to the side room at camp and you guessed my body fat and told me to shoot for 175, I was kind of pissed and I thought you were a little crazy, but I think you were right. And I'm at 176, and I'm going to cut it at 175. So
Here we
you
go,
were
boy.
spot on. Had
20
a lot more to lose than I thought.
20 years, man. We eye it, we can eye it pretty well at that point, and that's
I knew you were. I just didn't want to. Like, I was angry in my head of like, how did I get to 25% body fat? But yeah, I'm down 20, 25, maybe 30 pounds. So
good for you, man. Well done, brother. That's great
again.
work. Great work. Now, here's the other kicker. You got to put that 20 pounds back on in a different way.
Yep, that's next goal.
Exactly, man. Good, man. Good for you. But yeah, like what I would typically do, like Matt's doing right now, if I every time I get on the bike in the morning, when I'm doing my morning cardio, it's always something to I want to learn, I want to listen, I want to read, I want to do something while I'm there, not just you could raw dog it and just like manifest a little bit. That's what Chris Clark did, one of my clients. He uses a meditation practice. He would do his breath work whilst he was doing it. So you with zone 1.5, zone 2, you should be able to nasal breathe no problem. Like once you start to need to open your mouth to breathe, that's when you slow it down a little bit. Just keep nasal breathing. So yeah, some things to consider there, man. So if you find it tough, just start with something easy, like you watch a Netflix series, or at least you're tying it in with something that's pretty active and it's going to help you and benefit you rather than sitting on the sofa, right? But yeah, I typically do podcasts, like learn. I'll do some learning and stuff while I'm there. So try and tie it in with something you need or want to do, and then it's an easy win, much easier win. Matt, I can't wait to see these pictures, man. I'm looking forward to it. John, did you have a question?
How do you differentiate 1.5 from zone 2?
It's just a little percentage drop, man. You can work it out with the percentage of heart rate max and things like that. So typically your zone 2 is like 60 to 70% of your max heart rate. So you would be doing like 50% ish or something like that to be in the zone 1.5.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's it's for me, so my heart rate would be 90 to 110 or 100. So I'd have to keep my heart rate around there. So when you really dial it down, that's probably where your heart rate is going to be walking around. So if anything, you're probably just doing steps at that point for zone 1.5. Maybe just like imagine you're walking, but somebody's chasing you. That's probably with zone 1.5. So you just got a brisk pace. Your heart rate's up to about 100, but you keep that up for like 60 minutes, 90 minutes. Like you start because you have to then because the intensity is so low, you've got a longer duration. That's the problem. So these cyclists, I don't know how they do it with it. ass man, but like they'll sit on the bike for 2 hours, 3 hours, and just pumping out zone 1.5. I'm like, no, I haven't got time for that. So this is where we have to consider ideal. They're athletes, they can do that. And then there's real world. So this is why we use interval style training to achieve a similar response to help the mitochondria, because we want the mitochondria to output, but we want it to be efficient. Okay, we want lots of them. We want to be durable, but we want to be efficient as well. We want to be able to produce energy. So if you have, like Chris Clark, for example, I keep using him right now because he was a prime example, because he did so well with his cardiovascular training. When he came in, because the fitness levels weren't there, the zone two training helped him initially build the vascular network, open up capillaries, more blood flow, et cetera. But the other thing it does, it helps build more mitochondria. So it hits certain pathways called PGC1 alpha, all these other pathways that start help regulating mitochondria really well, but it builds more of them. So now if I have more mitochondria, I can make more energy. So now fat loss becomes easier. So if you're on a, like you look at Matt at the moment, it's like kicking ass on his cardiovascular work. He's building more mitochondria whilst he's doing that. So as he's dropping body fat, he's in a calorie deficit. He can now insert that fat into cells to be burned off and made into ATP. If he has less fat, if he has less mitochondria, that starts to become a slower rate. So the more mitochondria you have, the better you're going to be. Okay, now you can look at peptides and things like that that can potentially help accelerate those things up even more. MOTC, like all these things that can help build more mitochondria, make them more efficient. Yes, you can do that, but you're going to still bottleneck if the cardiovascular work isn't being done as well. You're still going to bottleneck if your nutrition isn't on point and your micronutrition isn't coming in to help support the mitochondria do its thing. Right. So if you're building a base and you're building the engine, you now need to select the right fuel to be able to run those. What's the main fuel for your aerobic capacity? Does anybody know? What would you say the main fuel is for your aerobic capacity?
Let's say
You would
fats,
guess.
is it fats or no?
Fats will be utilized for sure,
Okay.
but what's the main thing, the biggest rate limiter that you have to make ATP is oxygen. So if you're unfit, there's less oxygen coming into your system. So this is why we got to start with zone two. We need to allow more oxygen to come in. If I start you with high intensity work, how much oxygen can you get into your system? It's much more minimal because your breathing rate's super high. You're struggling to get in. And what happens, you bottleneck the system. So imagine there's like a chain of events that go on, and the last event is ATP. Well, all of these substrates that fuel through to make ATP, they're basically electrons coming from your food. Now, if you haven't got enough mitochondria or you haven't got enough nutrients coming in, you've got a poor diet that's devoid in micronutrients, you need micronutrients to pass all of these electrons at each part of the plant. And then you make ATP with oxygen, right? So if that's going super fast and you haven't got enough of the substrate to keep up, it's going way fast for your demand, you're going to bottleneck. And as you bottleneck, what happens? It goes back out into this out of the cell into the bloodstream. What do you feel in the bloodstream? Lactate. That's what lactate is. It's an inability to get fuel through and make ATP. So it has to recycle that lactate. But what does that look like for you training in the gym? Make sense? Like you're breathing rapidly. You're trying to get oxygen in, but it's not going anywhere. So we've got to train you to be able to be fit enough to handle that type of stuff. Build more mitochondria to do that. So now you can shuttle these electrons off where you need to send them. Okay. So oxygen's, that's why we start with foundation phase and building all that up, zone two, zone 1.5 to two. Then you are correct, Mike. Around that zone, you want to be ideally be using fatty acids there because you're working at submaximal heart rate zones. Okay. Now, once you start crossing over that, I still want to be able to train you with interval training to utilize glucose. Why? Because I'm training your system on how to actually use glucose. The problem a lot of people have when they come into coaching and they're unfit is they're metabolically inflexible. People typically are glucose dominant. They're insulin resistant. They can't get fat into the cell. So that's another reason why we start with zone two work. and a lot of times bring your carbohydrate down. So glucose and blood sugar levels drop, and your body has no option but to switch to fatty acids, ideally. But if you're inefficient and unfit, your body still wants glucose. And what happens to your energy at that point? You're like, you're flatlined because I'm not giving you carbohydrates. And it's going to take a bit of time for your body to start working through and learning how to use fatty acids again. So what type of training and what type of diet does that look like? It's slow, steady training, building mitochondria, only using fatty acids at that point, or using the training that needs fatty acids. So if I'm giving you weight training, what's that going to look like? It could be high reps, but it has to be super light and not build up that oxygen level pretty fast. It has to be super light. I can't get any lactate. So if lactate's building, I know you're driving into glucose. Make sense? So it's either that super light circuit training, or we have to do low rep strength training that doesn't cross over to lactate. So you look in 3, 4, 5, 6 reps max. That's it. Make sense? So I'm not giving you any glycolytic work. But once you can start to tolerate that and you can use fat as fuel, I then have to switch you. I then have to teach you how to use glucose correctly with training. So interval work's great for it. Higher rep strength training is great for it. So this is where you see us changing programs, and we're assessing you all the time. We're going, well, what's your blood sugar? What's your HRV? What's your resting heart rate? All of this data tells us a lot of stuff, right? If you're maximally stressed out, you're probably in a sympathetic state. You're probably running off high cortisol, high glucose. So we have to calm you down. We have to bring your nervous system back down so you can use fats. That's why we start with breath work. That's why we start with all these things. That's why we start with cardio. So if you want a full engine, you have to have all of the energy systems in place. You have to cycle through them. So what we did with Chris, we started in foundation, and once he was fit enough to do the mass test, we gave him the mass test. And he had, off the top of my head, I'm sure it was 269 on watts, 269 watts or 249 watts, either one of those. That was his first mass. 15 off, 120 off, different percentages of watts to hit. Then we moved into lactate work. So, like I was saying, like that 45 seconds, longer rest periods, started working him through those zones. The work to rest ratio was different. Then we went into high output work. Now, here's the kicker. We did 10 seconds of work with 2 minutes rest. Okay. Because I trained him, he was so efficient at that point aerobically, he could do 10 seconds. I'm sure it was like 800 or 900 watts at that point. Sure, it was 800 watts for 10 seconds. We gave him 2 minutes rest, and he could keep that up for 10 sets. I was like, he's not there yet. Like, he's too aerobically efficient. So what do I need to allow him to do? Output height, like lift heavier weights so he can produce more power at that 10 seconds. So his weight training changed. We had to do heavier strength training. But in the meantime, I knew his 10 seconds was 800 watts. So I gave him 85% of 800, and we did 20 seconds, and he had to keep that for 20 seconds with 2 minutes rest. He was gassed. So I knew I found the sweet spot. So we were still working power output training because we had 20 seconds on, 2 minutes off, big work to rest ratio. Okay. We did that for a few weeks, build up his strength training. We went back to the mass test. He did over 400 watts for 5 minutes. We built his engine, but we had to go through all of the energy systems to do that. So as now he loses body fat more, gets more efficient, great. If I add more muscle mass on him now, that's new muscle I have to condition because he's carrying a higher percentage of muscle mass compared to body fat. I have to condition that. So his heart's going to have to work harder because it has to carry fuel to more muscle, not body fat. Body fat doesn't contract, muscle contracts. So his heart has to work harder for new muscle. So now it's a different ball game. Make sense? So this is why we say once you hit one target, we got to work on something else because we're always a moving target. Now, if you want to stay ahead of the game, as we achieve one thing, the next thing has to be worked on. Right? So if I'm looking to, Matt's got a great RDL now after we We worked on him a little bit. Steve's been doing some good work with him on his RDL, but I know his RDL personally, the way that Steve might not do this with ratios. My background in strength training was with Charles Poliquin, who used a lot of strength ratios. So your back squat is your 100% main lift. But based off your back squat, I know your Romanian deadlift should be 105% of your back squat or around that number. It could be 110, 105. As long as you're around that number, you're pretty set. But your front squat should be 85% of your back squat, right? So if I improve your back squats by 20%, what have I just done to your front squat? I've given it a bigger gap. So what's your priority? Front squats. I need to improve your front squat. I need to improve your quads. Whereas the back squat's more quads, but it's more hips for a lot of people based off your mechanics. So I do back squat really well, but the majority of that load is going to be shifted towards your glutes and your hamstrings rather than your quads. You'll still train the quads. If I kept you upright in a front squat, it's all quads, baby. It should be all quads. Or I heel lift you, then it's all quads. Make sense? But if I improve that gap, well, now that's a weak point in your training. That's a weak point in your armory. So I need to make you more solid. I need to bring that back up and match it. And then I'm also looking at, well, what's your Romanian deadlift now? Right? So if your Romanian deadlift's 85% and it should be 105, I know I need more posterior chain work. So it's the same thing with energy systems. I need to test you. As I push your power training and I don't do aerobic work for a long time, I bring you back down all of a sudden. I need to do a little bit more aerobic work for like 6 weeks. You should maintain aerobic work pretty well. Do that for 6 or 8 weeks. Then boom, we move back into lactate work because now we've got the ability to push. Right? So it's always this to and fro. What's the next goal? What's the next target? What's my limiter? What can I pull to make that limiter my advantage? That's the whole point of it. And once we keep you on that cadence, you're bulletproof, man. You're bulletproof. We're always looking to get better. Hams is going to know in August when he kicks off with me. Got a good call tomorrow lined up, so we'll go through some good stuff. Boys, any questions on I know we touched on strength work. We touched a little bit on nutrition as well in terms of fuel substrate for energy systems and as you cross over certain pathways. Obviously, a bit of strength training we touched on as well to help support it. But how'd that drop for you, man? Any questions, boys?
Thought that was good. I just that last part there. I think it's good if you can keep in mind the like your RDL 105% of your back squat and your front squat 85, and then just keep in mind where you're at as you're training. You know, if one's falling short or if one's
It's
bigger than what it needs to be, you can maybe focus on another lift.
yeah, I mean, the thing that I've learned a lot, now this is based off Olympic athletes, by the way. So Charles did a lot with the Olympic athlete teams, but where he started picking up the ratios was based off the Canadian Winter Olympic team. So these guys were like, they had jobs, like they did their day job and then they went training. So it's no different to what we're doing right now. Like, but these were exceptional. They trained hard. They won medals at the Winter Olympics. So I see these guys as gem pop. They were just very well conditioned, very well trained. But he based all of his ratios, race started picking up a lot of the information off these athletes. And he based off that. And then he liked them all the athletes. Now, I take it into consideration next purpose as well, because when somebody's got different mechanics, it's a different ball game. So that's why I say it could be, these ratios look at 105 RDL compared to the back squats. As long as you're within that ballpark, you're pretty solid. But if it's a big discrepancy, it's something you need to work on, right? So if you do those ratios out, if you're 112, 105, 107, it's good to go. You don't have to be bang on 105, but you need to be a close to around that. That's the way I look at it. But now I know where your weak links are. At that point, right? Now we have to look at like restrictions and injuries and things like that too. But if you've been training a while and we start to look at strength ratios, it's a great way to look at if you balance these out or get them close. What I've noticed from 20 plus years of coaching people and actually teaching this stuff, injury rates drop massively, massively. right? We even look at like what rotator cuff strength should be compared to your bench press and all these things, like for shoulder mechanics and shoulder health. Like I know if you can elbow on knee, externally rotate with a dumbbell, 10 to 12% of your bench press for 8 reps, your shoulders are in pretty good nick. Now that's a lot. Like, I think you can bench press 120. That means you're doing 12 kilo dumbbell, 4 second down, 1 second up for 8 reps. That's a lot of weight. That's a strong rotator cuff. But there's only three people I've tested in 20 years that have passed that test. Three people. Everyone's super weak on external rotators. Now, some people could argue that you don't need those straight away, which technically they might not need those. Learn the skill of bigger movements first, and then bring in the rotator cuffs afterwards when you've got enough strength to warrant that type of testing. That comes further down the line. But once you've earned the right to start looking at strength ratios, it can be a game changer when you start to look at long-term efficiency. It can be a game changer. Just helps you plan the next block, plan the next block, plan the, and you always got strength. Because if you're looking at longevity, longevity is relative strength, man. That's all. That's what I honestly believe. Like the more weight you can lift for your body weight, relative to your body weight, the better off you're going to be. Like you look at running, for example, Mike. I know you said you have knee pain and you're trying to run. There was a documentary done where they looked at Usain Bolt. There was like a middle-aged runner, pretty decent runner, and there was an 80-year-old, 80 years old. And they looked at the time differences between each strike of the foot on the floor. Every time that foot struck on the floor, they measured the timing of it between the athletes, and they're identical. Every time that foot hit, it was in 0.3 of a second. All of them, Usain Bolt to the 80-year-old, identical timing. So what's the difference? How is Usain Bolt faster than the 80-year-old?
It's just powerful, more output, right?
More force development.
Yeah.
He was stronger, body weight to relative strength. So you look at sprinters, they're strong. They do strength training. So the amount of force as you hit the floor, you can push in and absorb and accelerate. The more force you can produce in the floor, so it's your a rate of force development. So the stronger you are at that, the more distance you're going to cover. Right? So now you got to break that down into like when you're training rate of force development, there's preparatory phases to get to that as well. So when you're doing like thing to build the plyometrics, you need a certain amount of lifting in your system before that. Like I'm trying, there's no way, for example, my son with the long limbs, I'm not putting him on a box to decelerate, especially a high box. His tendons are going to drop, right? I have to prep him for that. There's specific ways to prep him for plyometrics. So you jump up or jump on the floor rather than jump off a box first, right? So like that type of stuff plays. But I need him straight away as a young athlete, as a youth athlete. I need to teach him skill. I need to teach him to decelerate. How am I going to do that? He's going to squat with 4 to 5 seconds on the way down. Simple, submaximal, but I'm teaching his tendons to absorb eccentrically. That's the first step. So the more I can do that, build skill into a system, teach him to control his own body weight, teach his tendons to decelerate submaximal loads, then I can get more supra maximal and maximal loads into a system to decelerate with eccentrics. I'm probably going to build a lot of muscle mass on him at that point as well. At a 12-year-old, he's like, he wants to build a few pecs now. He's getting interested in girls. He's like, Dad, I want to bench press. I want to build my chest. I'm like, let's go, boy. Here we go. This is it. This is my spiel. Here we go. But I'm gonna get him strong. Like he wants to get strong. He wants to get fast. Okay, we know how to do it. You got to prep yourself to do that. So the if he can, at the minute he's bench pressing like what 65 pounds for 3 sets of 6, and he's 12. Not bad for a 12-year-old. Okay, let's get you stronger. Let's get you 85. Let's get you 120, 105, whatever it is. The same thing for the squat. But if you look at his body weight, he's only, I think he's like 50 kilos. So he's not even, he'll get him close to benching his body weight soon enough. It's not going to come far off. He's probably squatting his body weight right now. So that's not a bad start. But if I can get him 2 times his body weight in a squat, then everything starts to get easier. right? Much easier because now he can produce force to move his body around a football pitch is going to be simple because he can produce all the force. He's not leaking energy trying to move around. It's like his muscles are strong to do that. Makes sense? So same thing for you with your running, Mike. Get your relative strength up, produce more force through the floor, and your body weight's obviously losing body fat at that point is going to help as well, but getting lighter and be able to produce more force to run, you'll be good to go, man.
Yeah, solid.
Go, bro. Okay, boys. Bit of a chat on energy systems. We covered quite a lot today. Hope you all enjoyed it. Who's training cardio right now? Who's got cardio heavy in the program apart from Matt? Matt's kicking ass at the moment. He's in the last week of his cut. I see his pictures next week in the WhatsApp group, I'm hoping. Thompson's got some cardio coming up right now. Mike's going to start hitting the bike instead of running. Get Andrew giving you some Rogue Echo bike intervals. Phil, how you getting on, man?
Sorry, three monitors. Doing pretty good. Doing pretty well, man. Just getting back into it, getting started with things. Yeah,
Good, my friend.
cardio, yeah, my zone two. I have a tendency to go a little more aggressive than zone two. So I missed the first 20 minutes of what you were talking about tonight. I'm going to go back and rewatch the whole
Oh,
thing.
good, man.
But yeah, I may need to scale that part back a little bit. But then again, I've been killing it for 45 minutes on it during the
Yeah.
cardio days. And then, the training, the lifting, it's a lot of supersets. It's a lot of short rest times and long sets, kind of thing that's going into it. So my cardio has actually improved. Now,
Beauty.
I don't know if I'm clearing lactate like you were talking about, the same way. So, I want to go back, see the whole thing, and just kind of evaluate and see if any changes need to be made.
Yeah, any questions, man? Just drop in the WhatsApp group, brother. I'm here
All
for
right.
you, man. All good.
Appreciate
Keep up the good work, Phil. Great to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Boys, that's a wrap. Sure you all have a great rest of your day. Myself and Thompson will be hitting the sack right now, midnight. Get to bed. Get some good sleep. Matt, keep up the good work, man. Can't wait to see your results. Hamza, I'll speak to you tomorrow, brother. Thanks, boys. Paul, have a good one, brother. Bye,
All right.
guys.
Thanks,
Thanks,
Kevin.
Kev.
Never
Bye-bye.
really.
Bye, Mike.